Okay, we're in the last Mishnah Vav in Perek Tes. It says the Mishnah, Bas Kohen Shenises the Yisrael Lo Tochal B'Truma, Meis Velo Hemenu Ben Lo Tochal B'Truma, Nises the Levi Tochal B'Truma, Tochal B'Maiser, Meis Velo Hemenu Ben Tochal B'Maiser, Nises the Kohen Tochal B'Truma. Meis v'la himenu ben tochal b'truma. Meis b'na mikohen lo tochal b'truma. Meis b'na milevi lo tochal b'maiser. Meis b'na miyisrael chozeres l'beis aviha. Ve'al ze ne'amar v'shave el beis aviha kinu'ureha milechem aviha tochal. So the Mishnah is talking very similar to the last Mishnah we saw, except this time we're taking a bas kohen instead of a bas yisrael. She's going to marry three guys, and tragedy is going to befall all of her children and her husbands. So first, this Bas Kohen marries a Yisrael. So that Bas Kohen now is not allowed to eat Trum anymore because she's not considered part of her father's house. She's considered part of her husband's house. The husband's a Yisrael, not a Kohen. Now let's say that first that husband dies and she has a son from that first husband, so still she's not allowed to eat Truma because the son, the offspring, or the daughter prevents her from returning to her father's house. Nises, if she gets married to a Levi, so now she's allowed to eat Maiser. Again, this Mishnah is going to Rabbi Meir that says that Maiser is only eaten by Levim. We hold that Maiser Rishon is Chulin and anyone can eat it. But according to this, by Rabbi Meir, then she is married to the Levi, she's allowed to eat Maiser. If the Levi dies and she has a son from that Levi, so she still is allowed to eat Maiser because of the son. Niseis the Kohen, now she's going to get married to a Kohen. So now she's allowed to eat Truma. And even if that Kohen dies, if she has a child with that Kohen, so she's allowed to eat Truma. Now there's no husbands left, only children, and the husband and the children start dying as well. So now the child of the Kohen dies, so now she's no longer allowed to eat Truma, but she's still allowed to eat Maiser. Now the child from the Levi dies, so she's no longer allowed to eat Maiser. And now the child from the Yisrael dies, so now she has no children, no husband, so she returns to her father's house, and she was a Bas Kohen to begin with, so now she's allowed to eat Truma. And that is the Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Chaf Beis, that she returns to her father's house like when she was younger, and she's allowed to eat from the food of her father's house, meaning Truma. That's the end of Perek Tes. Perek Yud, says the Mishnah Aleph. Ha'isha shahalach ba'ala l'medinas hayam. U'ba'u v'amru la meis ba'alayich v'niseis. V'achar kach ba'ala, so then teitse mizeu mizeh. We're going to see all of the dinim that apply to this case, but to get the case first, a woman whose husband went away overseas. Then edim come and they say, your husband has died. Now because of that, she goes and she gets married. Now, we're going to see over here that there's two ways in which this could happen. This could happen al pi ed echad or al pi shnei edim. This could happen because of one witness or because of two witnesses. Normally in the Torah, you need two witnesses in order to do anything, especially when it comes to a davar shebe'erva, things having to do with married women. So over here, rabbinically, the chachamim were lenient and allowed only one witness to come and testify about the death of her husband and allowed her to get remarried because of that testimony, which is a very big leniency because normally you would need two witnesses. The reason they did that is because of the problem of agunos, that this woman would be an aguna, she would be stuck being married, and we would never be able to clarify the situation because we would never find two witnesses. And if the husband really were gone, so we're never obviously going to get a get. And she would have to be stuck being basically a single woman the rest of her life and unable to get married. So they made it easier for her to get remarried by saying that she only had to have one witness come and say that her husband died. But because of that, they also were really relying on the fact that this woman would check things out properly and be certain in the fact that her husband was dead before she would go and get married again. So when the husband in this case walks into town and we see that he's still alive, So now we're going to have all of these measures in order to basically fine or punish these people for not having been careful with this principle. And then we're going to see all the things that happen. So the husband walks into town, and she's now married to two guys, so to speak. So she has to get divorced from both of them. She has to get divorced from the first one she needs to get. Tetum is Eum is that. The reason, first of all, that she's not allowed to stay with either of them is a Mishnah in Sota that says that when a married woman has relations with somebody else, she's asur labaal va'asur laboal. She is forbidden to stay with her original husband, and she is forbidden to stay with the person who she had adultery with. Now, this is an adulterous situation. And again, normally an adulterous situation, which is rape or some kind of duress, which wasn't the woman's fault, so then we wouldn't make her leave her husband. But over here, we say that it is the woman's fault to a certain extent because she should have been more careful, and that's what we were really relying on with this leniency of allowing her to get married with only one witness. So she has to leave both of these men, both the husband, the original husband, and the second husband. This continues the Mishnah. V'tzricha get mizeh u'mizeh. She also needs a get from both of them. She needs a get from the original husband, because that's her husband, so for sure she needs a get from him. And then rabbinically, we also will make her need a get from the second guy, because since it looked like they were married, we're going to make them need a get. V'ein laksuva v'lo peros v'lo mizonos v'lo blaos. Lo alze, velo alze. And she doesn't get any of the monetary things that a woman should get from either of these men. She doesn't get her ksuba. She doesn't get the peiros. Again, we would have thought perhaps that she would get the peiros in this case, since peiros, the husband only got the right to eat the fruits of her properties because of his obligation to redeem her should she be taken captive. Over here, he has no obligation, so we would think that she would get the peiros. But no, over here we're going to punish her, and we're going to make a fine over here that she doesn't get the peiros. She doesn't get mizonos, there's no obligation to feed her, and she doesn't get any depreciation from her properties, any of that value, not from the first husband, not from the second husband. Continues the Mishnah, im natla mizeh umizeh tachzir. If she does take any of these things from the husbands, either of the husbands, she has to return it. V'havlad mamzer mizeh umizeh. Any child that she had from the second husband is a mamzer. That's deraisa. That's a Torah principle because she was a married woman the whole time. Any child she has also from the first husband, if the first husband goes and takes her back as his wife and they conceive and have a child after this whole episode, so that child also is a mamzer. That is not deraisa. That's only rabbinic. Velo ze vze matmeim la. If either of those men are a kohen, they are not allowed to become impure for her funeral. Velo ze vze zakayin la b'mitziasa. Neither of them get her mitzia, any found object. The normal halacha is that a husband has the rights to any found object that her husband that she finds goes to her husband. The reason is, Mishum Eva, we don't want there to be strife in the marriage. But over here, we don't care. We want there to be strife in the marriage because we want them not to be together. So we institute that he doesn't get he doesn't get any of her found objects. V'lo Ma'isa Yadeha, he also does not get her paycheck. Normally, the husband gets her paycheck. The reason that a husband gets her paycheck is because he has to feed her. He has an obligation to feed her. Now, over here, since he doesn't have an obligation to feed her, so he doesn't get her paycheck. Velo b'hafaras nidreha, and he is not allowed to be, we take away his right to be, to annul her vows. Because hafaras nidarim, the annulling of vows, the reason that the husband is allowed to do that is so that the wife should not make herself or put herself in a situation where she becomes disgraced in the eyes of the husband, and so therefore we want her to be disgraced in the eyes of her husband, so we do not let him annul her vows. Haisa bas Yisrael nifsala min hakuhuna, ubas Levi min ha-maiser, ubas Kohen min ha-truma. If she's a Bas Yisrael, so she will now be possible from ever having married a Kohen. She won't be able to marry a Kohen because she's a Zona. If she's a Bas Levi, she's not allowed to have Maiser. The idea that a Bas Levi wouldn't be allowed to have Maiser, that is not really a Deraisa issue. That's only rabbinic over here. And the Bas Kohen, if she was a Bas Kohen, so she would be... She was a Bas Kohen, so she would not be able to eat Truma, again, because she was a Zona. V'ein Yorshim Shel Zeh, V'yorshim Shel Zeh, Yorshim Es Ksuvasa. And we don't allow any of either of the people's inheritors, any of the sons, to inherit her Ksuva. Now, normally this would work because we have a thing called Baning Dichrin. A Ksuva's Baning Dichrin means that when she got married, she said it that if she were to die first, so her Ksuva would go to her sons. So in this case, we also make a fine that not only is she not going to get her Ksuva, but the Ksuva that if she were to die before the husbands actually end up divorcing her, so that Ksuva would not go to her children either. V'im mesu, achiv shel zeh, v'achiv shel zeh, choltzin v'lo miyabmim. If the husbands die before they're able to divorce her, so the brothers of both the first and second husband should do chalitza and not yibum. The first one has to do chalitza de'araisa. The second guy has to do chalitza only rabbinically, just like he had to give a get, only rabbinically, because it looked like they were married. That's all the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi Omer Ksuvasa al Nichse Ba'ala HaRishon. Rabbi Yossi holds no that she has a Ksuva, and the Ksuva is from the first husband. Rabbi Elazar Omer HaRishon Zakai B'Mitziyasa. Umase Yadeha Ubafaras Nidreha. Rabbi Elazar says that the first husband is allowed to, does have ownership over her Mitziya, over something she finds, and in her paycheck, and also in the annulment of her vows. His reason is that there's no reason to fine the original husband over here. The original husband should still have all of those rights. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Bi'asa or Chalitzasa, Mi'achiv Shel Rishon, Poteres Tsarasa. Rabbi Shimon says that the Yibum or Chalitza from the first husband, from the brother of the first husband, if the first husband died, would exempt her co-wife from having to do any Yibum situation. He also would hold that you're not going to need a chalitza from the second husband at all. The Ein Havlad Mimenu Mamzer, he holds that if the woman went back to the first husband, then the child from her is not a Mamzer. Again, we said that would have only been rabbinic, so Reb Shimon argues in that case and says that child is not a rabbinic Mamzer. V'im niseis shelo b'reshus muteres lachzor lo. The last line of the Mishnah says, if she got married shelo b'reshus without permission, so then she is mutter to go back to her original husband. Now, what that line means is that if she got married not by the testimony of one witness, but rather by the testimony of two witnesses, and therefore she does not need the permission of the court to go and get married, because she has two witnesses. So therefore, we didn't need a special heter of Beis Din to allow her to go get married, then she is permissible, she's permitted to go back to marry the first husband, because we would consider that case a case of ones. Meaning if there were two witnesses involved that said her husband died, so what should the woman have done? Of course she was supposed to believe two witnesses, so she went and she got married. Now if the deceased husband walks back in, so it was as if she had been married to the first guy all the time, and it only had something happen to her under duress. So we allow her, to still stay married to the first husband. Whereas, if the entire case was only, she was permitted to be married only with one witness, so then we will fine her because she should have been more careful in such a case. She should have checked into the situation better. The halacha actually is that all of the things that we have spoken about in the Tanakhama are true not only when there's only one witness allowing this woman to go get married, but even when there are two witnesses. The Gemara brings the Braisa, which holds such an opinion, that it argues on this Mishnah, and it's not only when one witness allows this woman to go get married because he says her husband died, but even when two witnesses says her husband died, still, kol hadrachim ha'eluba, all of these kenasos, all these fines, still are going to be applicable in that situation as well. That's the end of Mishnah Aleph.